Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today we want to talk about Solus Christus. In other words, one of the slogans of the Reformation that teaches us that Christ alone is what it's all about when it comes to our salvation. Over the past several weeks, we have been considering those Latin slogans. They're called the solas, although this one's a little bit odd because it's Solus Christus, because Christ of Christ alone is in the masculine and all the other solas are feminine. And so the words correspond. That's why it's a little bit different. But this is really great stuff. It's about the go-between. Is there any access that you've wanted to a special person, like a celebrity or something like that, and you found that you had to kind of have some go-betweens to get you to the person? I like to network. I like to go to conferences and get to interact with different people. And sometimes you have some friends that can kind of connect you with other friends, and that's a great thing. But when it comes to your relationship with God or your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, is it straight to Jesus, or do you have other things that you need to get you to God besides Jesus? Now, in the Middle Ages, the context of the Reformation coming out of that, the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, or I should say, the official practice for sure of the Roman Catholic Church, is that you're not really coming straight to Jesus. You are, yes, you've got Jesus. He's part of that, but you've also got your good works that are part of that. You've also got the Roman Catholic priests. You've also got the various sacraments. And all of these things are required to get you to God. And Solus Christus basically is like, no, it's just Jesus. It's just who he is. It's just what he's done. He is our priest. He is the ultimate priest. He is the great high priest. We don't need anyone else. It's just Jesus. Solus Christus, Christ alone. And we think about Galatians. Galatians, Paul has some very, very strong language. I mean, there's so many of his letters that he says some good things, he says some hard things. But when it comes to Galatians, there's not a lot of little nice fluffy encouragements at the beginning of the letter, and then he gets down to business. I mean, when you think of first century New Testament rascals, I don't think we can get much more rascally than the Corinthian church. And Paul had some very kind things to say about the Corinthian church at the beginning and the ends of the two letters that we have that Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the New Testament. But when it comes to the Galatians, he gets down to business really fast. Now, Galatia, that's a region in central Turkey. It's a number of churches. Paul shared the gospel there. But immediately after Paul left, others came and told the Galatians, yes, Jesus is great. Yes, of course we keep Jesus, but we need to add circumcision. If you haven't been circumcised, then you really aren't the real thing. And, you know, they wouldn't have necessarily said, you have to keep all of the old covenant law, but just give us this one. Just give us circumcision. Well, it's kind of a big one. If you're a guy and you've not been circumcised as an adult, that's kind of a big deal. But anyway, Paul's like not even thinking about it in terms of the physical pain of the thing. He's talking about it spiritually. He's talking about the category of adding works to faith. He wants to tell us and tell the Galatians that when it comes to your salvation, all you need is faith in Jesus Christ, solus Christus. So that's not just something the reformers would have come up with. That's a great summary of something that we learn about in the Bible. So listen to how strong Paul starts out this letter in Galatians 1, verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Okay, so stop right there. If you add works to your salvation, Paul describes this as deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. I mean, wow, I say a lot. We're all works in progress. We all have areas to grow and learn. That's true. But when it comes to the gospel, there is no ground to modify it or mess it up in any way. Well, you know, circumcision, you know, that was something given to Abraham. That's been the heart and soul of the old covenant. I mean, if you're circumcised, you're a Jew, you're in, right? That's really it. That's all you had to do. But when it, so why would it be such a big deal for Paul that he would call this a different gospel? Why would he basically say, if you force people to do this one thing in addition to Christ, you are changing the gospel. You are just adding the entire package of the law to grace. And so Christ alone is really true. It's really right. Paul goes on to say in Galatians 1, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Accursed? I mean, how strong is that? Accursed means let him be sent to hell. If somebody comes along and is preaching a different gospel, if somebody doesn't say Christ alone, let him be accursed. Wow. He says in verse 9, as we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. So he says it twice in two verses. If it's an angel, if it's me, I mean, we're all going down on this thing. Christ alone is that important. And that critical. You are distorting the gospel if you go any other way. So in the Middle Ages, during the time of the Reformation, or flowing out of the Middle Ages, I guess you'd say, the Renaissance and the Reformation came at the end of the Middle Ages. But the Roman Catholic Church, and they do to this day, have priests and mediators between us and God. They want to get other people like Mary or the saints to pray to Jesus for us. They add all of these things, and in practice, people are not trusting in Christ alone. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, that there's not some Catholics that are trusting in Christ alone. What I'm saying is that's not really what the system is doing. And, you know, if you find yourself where you're trusting in Christ alone and you're surrounded by people, whether it's the Catholic Church or a liberal church, or whether you're, you know, coming out of a cult or something like that, If you're surrounded by people who are not trusting in Christ alone, you need to leave. You need to get to a place where people are not only trusting in Christ alone, but supporting you in your trust of Christ alone. Solus Christus. It's that important, right? It's not just a minor thing. Paul says it's another gospel. Paul says if people are preaching like this, if they are adding, and let me just say again, you could be in a system, in a situation that talks a lot about Jesus, a lot about Jesus. You could maybe have come from suppose you came from a really liberal church where they didn't believe in Jesus and they didn't even talk about Jesus. And then you go to, say, a traditional Roman Catholic church where they talk about Jesus quite a lot. You could say, wow, this is a major upgrade for my faith journey. But listen, if they also add other things, they're not talking about Jesus only, Jesus alone. That is the gospel. That is where we need to be, not with traditions, not with works, not with anything in addition to Jesus. So we have to take a break, but we're going to continue this topic to think about the Reformation slogan, Solus Christus. What does it mean that Christ alone is the heart of our salvation?
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Kratz as he continues to talk about Christ alone. But real quick, I'm going to show my age here, but I think a lot of you will remember what it was like to talk on a cell phone years ago. Nights and weekends, when it was free after 9, you waited until 9 o'clock to call your parents. Back then, we rationalized conversations. We thought through if we should use our phone as much as we do now. You know, sometimes I wish that were the case these days, but it is not. Unlimited data, unlimited minutes, unlimited texts, this, that, or whatever. That's a way of life now. And we want to give you an opportunity to use it wisely. And that is where Fortis Plus comes in. It's open all the time, obviously, and it's absolutely free. No trial period, no enter your card. Just open it up and start to use it on your phone and now on most smart TVs as well. Hundreds of hours of audio and video content available right now, and we're adding to it every single day. Whether you've got just a few minutes or you've got plenty of time, whatever the case is, you're going to find content, short or long. It's all there, and it's all completely biblical, and again, it's all completely free. Just go to FortisPlus.org or you can go to your app store on your cell phone or the streaming app store on your smart TV. Search for Fortis Plus and find it absolutely free. And here's how it all stays free. We're not running ads around here. We don't have big corporate sponsors who dictate the type of content we put out. Nothing like that. Nope. We have a group of listeners who have linked arms with us and joined us because they want more people in more places all over the world to be able to receive the content that has helped them in the past. We call those people gospel partners, and we would love it if you would begin praying about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner if the content that we produce here at Fortis Institute has ever helped you. Think about how your support could go to help someone else. If you're already giving faithfully to your local church and you have a margin in your life where you could join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be honored if you would begin praying about what it would look like in your life to do just that. But let me say, if you're not already giving to your local church faithfully, don't give to us. Your first giving priority is to your local church, so get that taken care of. And when you do, go to FortisInstitute.org to find all of the answers to all of the questions you have about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. All right, now let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. Today we are talking about Solus Christus, one of the slogans of the Reformation. And it means Christ alone. We have seen that there are other versions of Christianity even, or would claim to be Christian, who would add works or add go-betweens between us and God besides Jesus. And the reformers really tried to correct that understanding. Again, we don't believe anything just because somebody in church history taught it. We believe it because it corresponds with the scripture. And what we're seeing is, yes, this is true, that the reformers were saying, no, it's not about Christ plus anything, not even plus one little thing like circumcision in the book of Galatians. It's not Christ plus anything. It is only Christ is the basis of our faith. And that is the heart of our very salvation. Our eternal destiny is based on this reality that it is Jesus and Him alone. Let's look at some other scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. There's no other mediator. There's no other go-between between God and men. It is God himself, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. He is the mediator. He is the go-between, him alone. How about when we think of priests and that sort of thing, all right, in the Old Covenant? Yes, the priests were pictures of this separation between holy God and sinful people. And he set up God set up a system of priests in the Old Covenant. But now that Christ has come, the ultimate priest that these pictures all pointed to, and he offered the ultimate sacrifice of himself, he is our only priest. He is our only go-between. And the author of Hebrews made a very big deal about that all through the book of Hebrews. By the way, if you ever get a chance to preach or teach, that's a great thing. It's a wonderful privilege. One thing we're trying to do is we're trying to teach what the passage says, compare their situation with our situation, and then make some applications from their situation to our situation. Well, I love to preach through books of the Bible, just verse by verse, straight through books of the Bible. And years ago, I was preaching through the book of Hebrews, and I wish somebody had told me that basically between Hebrews 5 and Hebrews 10, there's one big application, that the Lord Jesus Christ is a better priest than the whole Old Testament system of priests. That was like a lot of messages in a row with the same application. Anyway, if you doubt me about that, just go ahead and pick your Bible up and start reading in Hebrews 5, stop reading in Hebrews 10, and think about how you might apply that to the stuff of this world. You know, it's one big application, I'm telling you, or it's one big message. Obviously, it applies in some different ways. But when you're a preacher and week after week, you come back to the same audience, the same congregation, and you are making applications and you want your application to be based squarely upon the point of the passage that you're preaching, and it all is kind of saying the same thing. Anyway, it's a really important thing. It's a good thing. And you can certainly say, oh, well, it sounds like God wanted the people at Faith Bible Church to hear that application over and over again, just like God wanted the Hebrews to hear that application over and over again, or that main point, because that point was such a major thrust in this letter to the Hebrews. Well, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. We have the ultimate high priest. He totally is able to sympathize with us. He lived among us. Very God took on humanity in addition to his deity. And he lived amongst us. He learned obedience through the things he suffered, practically, it says in Hebrews. And then, of course, he suffered and died on the cross in the place of sinners. God poured his wrath out on Jesus. None of those sacrificial animals, the blood of bulls and goats, could ever take away sins because they weren't eternal God suffering and dying, the God-man dying on the cross in the place of sinners. And once we have that, we don't go backwards. We don't try to add to that. If you added to that, you're actually taking away from Jesus. I just thought of a verse that Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse. So we know about verse 20. That one comes up a lot. That one makes its way onto coffee mugs, right? Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All right, listen to the next verse, Galatians 2:21. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. You know what that says? That says, if you could be good enough to earn God's favor, you didn't need Jesus to suffer and die on the cross. And of course, he's making the point in this letter to the Galatians, even adding one ounce of your own effort, in this case, circumcision, is adding to the work of Christ. And if you can add your own work to the work of Jesus, then the work of Jesus is not solely complete and adequate for your salvation. You need to give a little help to Jesus. And I mean, even saying it like that sounds horrible. It sounds horrible because it is horrible. So the reformers were right. Christ alone. That is a great slogan. That is a massive correction to the religion that was surrounding them, that they were correcting by the word of God, by the teaching of Scripture. Listen to James Montgomery Boyce as he summarizes what the slogan Christ alone means. He says, the church of the Middle Ages spoke about Christ. A church that failed to do that could hardly claim to be Christian. But the medieval church had added many human achievements to Christ's work, so that it was no longer possible to say that salvation was entirely by Christ and his atonement. This was the most basic of all heresies, as the reformers rightly perceived. It was the work of Christ plus our own righteousness. The Reformation motto, Solus Christus, was formed to repudiate this error. It affirmed that salvation has been accomplished once for all by the mediatorial work of the historical Jesus Christ alone. James Montgomery Boyce continues, his sinless life and substitutionary atonement alone are sufficient for our justification, and any quote-unquote gospel that fails to acknowledge that or denies it is a false gospel that will save no one. You say, well, what if a person is coming out of paganism and a person gets into, let's just say, the traditional Roman Catholic Church, and they trust Jesus and they trust their own efforts? That gospel will save no one. It is not an improvement. Oh, I remember a story of a guy. He went to college, and this guy was a real rebel, and he was giving his mother and father fits. And he got involved in a group called the International Church of Christ. And they basically teach that, yes, you're saved by faith in Jesus, plus your water baptism in our church, plus, and they had a whole list of things. And, you know, it blurred the lines whether they would say that was part of the gospel, but in practice, it absolutely was essential for salvation. And I remember talking to this mother, and she was so encouraged that her son was, you know, getting off of being drunk, getting off of just an immoral lifestyle, even drugs, I believe. And he got involved with this group. And I was like, no, 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 this isn't good. You think that this is a big upgrade, but this is not, because as James Montgomery Boyce said, his, Jesus's, sinless life and substitutionary atonement alone are sufficient for our justification, and any quote-unquote gospel that fails to acknowledge that or denies it is a false gospel that will save no one. This man wasn't saved, and when he when his legalism became unraveled, his life went far worse into debauchery than it had been before. Listen, if you are trusting in Jesus plus anything, you need to stop and repent of your false trust and trust Jesus alone. Solus Christus is right and biblical. Now go do God's word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.